I don't know how we're going to pack it all in today, but on this edition of Chris Fabry Live on a Toxic Talk Tuesday, she's back fresh from a trip abroad to bring help and hope to those who feel alone. And the subtext of the program we're about to conduct is the power of a mother's heart toward any issue that affects her kids and others. I really believe that a mama bear can accomplish amazing things in the world when motivated by love. That is the subtext of our conversation straight ahead. The above ground question is, are you trying to live with less chemicals in your life, with food, with cleaning products, with plastics, with weeds and bugs? If you're trying to live healthy in a toxic world, today's your day on Chris Fabry Live. My personal toxic life coach is here and ready to roll. Let's get to it. Lori Neff is our free agent today from Midday Connection. She is sitting in for Nate. Ryan McConaughey Engineering. Trisha Illen is our coordinating producer. Taylor Garrett will be answering your calls at 877-548-3675. Like us on Facebook. Follow me on Twitter. You can get the links from chrisfabrylive.org. Last name, F-A-B-R-Y. F-A-B is in Fab. F-A-B-R-Y, chrisfabrylive.org. And joining me in the studio today, the woman voted least likely to be debilitated by toxins and 6 years later to do a 5K run, journalist, founder of Moms Aware, mother of nine, Andrea Fabry.
Thank you. Could you give that Mama Bear quote just one more time? Is that you, by the way? Can I quote you?
Yeah, I don't
okay.
think
I thought that was, it just, I missed it.
I really believe that a mama bear can accomplish amazing things in the world when motivated by love.
And you wrote that?
I did.
I like that. Thank you.
I'm making her cry. The thing that's making me cry is, did you know that Glenn Campbell's final recording has been released?
No.
They recorded a song with, you know, he has Alzheimer's. In January of 2013, and they're just now releasing. I saw the video. Oh, it's just tear your heart out. Anyway, how are you, Andrea?
I'm
welcome
good.
To the program.
Thank you so much.
Did you really take an Instagram of being here?
Is I that did. Yeah. I did. I put it on my Facebook, and I have it on Instagram.
Okay, we'll try to pull that over on.
Oh, that would be good.
We can do it on our Facebook, can't we? Put it on Chris Fabry Live's Facebook.
Yep.
Should have thought of that, shouldn't I?
Yeah, so, I had a compliment about you in there.
Oh, wow. Yeah. So you're doing okay?
I am. Thanks. Again, thank you for asking. How are you? How did you fare while I was gone? I was gone for 4 days.
It was a struggle. It was a bigger struggle than I thought.
Really?
No, it was. It was just the energy output that I had to have.
Was it hardest that Tebow missed me or that some of the other kids?
It was hard to watch him go through this, the separation and then wondering. But, it was worth it when you finally came back and the tail wagging and all of that. And we all felt the same way. So why don't you tell our dear listeners
where
you went and what the thing, what were you trying to do?
It was an eco-wellness social media conference called ShiftCon. That a shift is happening in our country and those who are involved in social media can make a big change. So close to 300 bloggers, lots of organic companies and product sponsors and keynote speakers. It was fantastic for somebody like me. And so I'm translating this over to somebody at home who feels like, am I crazy for thinking about this? And my friends kind of think I'm crazy, or am I over the top? And does this really matter? And what I walked away from is, yes, this really does matter. And the fact that you're thinking about this is a very, very good thing. And, I walked away also saying compare, despair. I can't be like everybody else. I'm not. There's some big name bloggers and so on and so forth. And I thought, well, I'm doing what I do and that's enough. So I walked away with a sound message for myself, and translating that over to someone listening who's trying to embrace all there is to know and learn about these issues. It is enough. Just do what you do, and the next step you take is enough.
Well, and that translates into into your diet, let's say. And there are so many things that you, when you look at the modern American diet that we had, that you have to change, and you can be so overwhelmed by it that you don't do anything.
Yeah, and completely understandable. But again, once you educate yourself and learn more, it really is motivating. when you understand what's in our food system, what has happened to our food system in the last 50 years, it's pretty motivating to know that, and the whole genetically modified organisms, GMOs, genetically engineered foods, that's a very overwhelming topic, and it is pervading our food system. Does it really matter for me to take out GMOs, and how could I possibly do that? When you learn what's going into the seeds and how they're distributed and protected and so on and so forth, and what's on the horizon, when you learn that, it makes sense to know, seeds have always been easy to, you know, keep going. And farmers who saved their seeds for the next year, well, now they're patented. And they have chemicals in them. Same chemicals that have been used in warfare. So is it a good thing to think about? Yeah, it is.
Yeah, and there may be some people who say, well, that's not, you know, yeah, it has chemicals in it, but the reason is this, and it's a good thing because now I don't have to spray my, and there are issues that come up from that. So even if somebody disagrees with you about that, let's say, fine. Yeah. You're not trying to change everybody's mind about everything that you think is bad for us, you know, that kind of thing. Right?
That is, I simply am here to say these issues, and it boils down to this: clean air, clean water, and clean food. Those are important. And for somebody who wants to
clean politicians,
somebody who wants to try to sort through all that, and yes, my heart is very much toward moms and dads, but I think of protecting our next generation, I suppose, is where that stems from, my passion for children. It's for you. I'm targeting you, and for those who think this is not even what, and I completely understand. I've been there. That's the way I was until I had a health crisis, and a lot of times that's what happens. You have a health crisis, and you have to think about these things.
All right. So there are a couple of things that I really want to talk with you about. Oh, and the picture is posted on the Chris Fabry Live Facebook page now. You can see what Andrea looks like.
And the with my hair pulled back.
And anyway, the reason there is that blanket that's over the desk is a reflection of her voice. I don't want there to be any problem.
So it's not an aesthetic design?
Well, it is probably partially.
I don't know. I might pick a different color. I mean, maybe we can go over that.
We could turn it inside out and you get the lighter blue.
Yeah, I like
blue.
The other color.
Okay. But the other thing, you spoke in front of a school board recently. I want to hear about that. And if you have a question or comment, you can get involved today on this edition, Toxic Talk Tuesday, on Chris Fabry Live.
To reach the studio now, call 877-LIVE-675. That's 877-LIVE-675.
It's a Toxic Talk Tuesday, one of my favorite Tuesdays of the whole month, here in October. Oh, don't you love October? Andrea Fabry is here, my toxic life coach. And I was the videographer of something that happened, and this will show the power of a mama bear. You really believe that the school systems and the schools in our area need to move away from the spraying that they've been doing.
Of pesticides and herbicides? Absolutely, I do. I can't tell you how passionate I am about that because it's win-win here. This isn't like just don't worry about the bugs and forget anything. There are so many natural options that are equally affordable and may not need to be sprayed as often. And so it's win for the kids and win for the school districts.
But why would it be a bad thing to spray what they have been spraying? And this is on your site, and there's a video there.
Well, I just don't think we know what the long-term implications are at all. It's something, the chemicals that we're using have only been in regular rotation in our lives for the last, you know, less than 100 years, basically since World War II. It's when they really, you know, came into fruition, and right after a lot of the weapons plants became fertilizer plants, so, you know, and manufacturers. And then these pesticides, just the escalation of the use of toxic chemicals. A chemical is a chemical. It's a petroleum-based product that is foreign to the body. So our bodies have been, you know, under attack for these last couple of generations, and we don't know and understand yet, and it never was tested. Well, what about fertility issues, or what about birth problems, or what about autism? How is that related? Or Parkinson's disease? We didn't think about that because we think of toxicology as one thing. Well, if it's not very much, the dose makes the poison, if you will. If it's a little bit of poison, we can handle it. So
the upsides of all of those things have been really good, you know, for us. You can get rid of your weeds, you get rid of your bugs, you get keep all the critters away and that type of thing.
In the short term, yeah. It seemed like a good idea. But I really like what one of the speakers said. You know, nature doesn't wait around for focus groups. Nature ultimately kind of dictates what will happen, and the rate of superbugs and the increased use of chemicals in our farming system is quite shocking. It's against what was originally hoped and believed. And my point is, so why would we take a chance on our children? If we and Arizona has so many bug issues, and it's different in each region for sure. You know, on the East Coast, you've got different bug issues than here. So this is why across the country, I think this ought to be classically implemented. We can use natural methods to deter pests or to even kill them. And it's true that there are some natural products that will kill the pest without harming the human.
All right. Let me just get back to this, and then we'll take your phone calls. 877-548-3675. It's Toxic Talk Tuesday. And in a sense, it is of the topic is when you feel alone in this, but
we're getting to that.
You'll take it. The thing I want to say about this, the school board, you spoke for you only had 3 minutes and they let you go six, which I thought was very generous of them.
They did.
And it was, there was no, you know, they don't respond to you at all. They just listen to what you have
to
say.
And the reason, and it's a very good, I totally respect this. I was unannounced. I just showed up. And I signed a form that said I would like to address the school board. This has been 6 years in the making since we had a big pesticide exposure, our family did, and I started to learn about labels and inert ingredients and the levels of toxicity and so forth, and in the drinking water, and on and on. So I've been thinking about this for years. As soon as we bought a house, I vowed whatever school district I was in, I was going to at least get them thinking. So that was my goal, and I showed up unannounced, and I filled out the form. I studied exactly what you need to do. I was very nervous and intimidated. So I share that for others who have an interest in these subjects and want to help spread the word. It's not about nerves, and I honestly didn't even want to run a video because I, you know, my hair could have been better and all that. You know, this isn't about me. This is about a passion that I have for kids, and I really think the school board wants to know. See, this is why I'm comfortable doing this program with you. I think deep down we want information and we want to feel empowered as citizens. It's like, I can think about this. So when I went, and so the rule of being unannounced is that you have 3 minutes and there the school board is not allowed to respond. So I did know that ahead. So that awkward silence when I finished, I had expected.
Yeah. But again, here is the mama bear in you. Not just for your own children, not just to say, when my kids come to your school, they get a nosebleed, and here's the history and, you know, our own problems and struggles, blah, blah, blah. But you had other information about just general population.
General. Yes, this is about, and the statistics are what is coming out about pesticide spraying and these young children is astounding. The science is already there. It's just not available to us on an everyday basis unless we go searching. So the issue with pesticide spraying, the new issue and the hot topic, if you will, is the fact that, and I talked about the dose makes the poison. There is a set of chemicals that go against that. The smaller the dose, the more toxic. And these are known as endocrine disrupting chemicals. And so I did focus in on that because young children and their hormonal system, I mean, we use birth control patches at very minuscule doses. That's how big of an impact that will have. So on the same line, some of these estrogen mimicking chemicals, the small, tiny doses can do big things. We have not, that has not been on our radar. Well, it's been on a lot of people's radar, but not generally. We just assume that it's all good and well because it's small amounts. So and this is breaking the pattern.
Would you say that also the people's DNA, some people are more hardier, you know, there's some people are more resistant and other people don't have the resistance?
Well, you know, it is true genetically what we come into the world with. However, another thing they're finding out is the genome doesn't really dictate quite as much as the environment. And that's when you hear the term epigenetics. That's referring to the environmental exposures determine whether or not certain genes will express. So I think what we're learning is, oh, okay, it's not just set in stone. What I eat, what I drink, and what I expose myself to can have a positive. See, that's the good news of this. This is what I like. It's not, you don't have to sit back and go, well, I don't have good genetics. Well, but I can do a lot to determine whether or not they'll, you know, express themselves.
Okay. All right, Toxic Talk Tuesday, 877-548-3675. The power of a mother bear for her cubs
and other cubs.
And then general questions here. Here's one from Tampa, Florida. Hi there, Jerry. Go right ahead.
Hi, my name's Jerry. Thanks for taking my call. I grow my own vegetables, and I listen to you all the time, and I try to make sure I catch it when your wife, Andrea, is there because she's taught me a lot. I have a problem with fleas in my yard. I don't have the problem with the pests eating my vegetables yet, but I have fleas in my yard. I don't have any pets, but there are stray cats and raccoons that come through to try to eat the vegetables, but they're dropping fleas or eggs, and how can I control or eliminate the flea infestation that's in my yard?
Okay, great. Have you tried diatomaceous earth?
What is it?
Good. Oh, I'm just so glad. I'm glad that you haven't tried that, because if you tried that and you weren't 60. Okay. Diatomaceous earth, it's actually fossils. So this is completely natural. It's fossilized remains of diatoms, a hard-shelled algae. For what that's worth. And it's effective against insects who have an exoskeleton.
Mm. And fleas, do fleas have an exoskeleton?
I believe they do.
Okay.
And this is only one of several possibilities, and the other ones aren't coming to my mind right now. Boric acid or borax, that I would research that. But diatomaceous earth, the only thing you kind of have to be careful of is inhaling a lot of the dust of it when you're applying it, but you can buy little dusters or apply it. It's just a little goes a long way with diatomaceous earth. I would try that. So just once you get online and you look up diatomaceous earth, I think it's going to be great.
Okay, that sounds great. I will try that.
Good.
And the
thanks for coming.
And the second alternative is borax.
Borax, you know, what's available in just the stores in the cleaning aisle. I pulled this up. Here we go. Borax, diatomaceous earth, lavender, lemongrass, peppermint, and the essential oils or the mint plants would be more of deterrence, I would think. But so many creatures don't like mint. And this is good news for us because we don't mind the smell of mint. But the borax you'll find in the cleaning aisle, and it's boric acid essentially.
I found something from the healthyhomeeconomist.com that says a much better prevention strategy than pesticides is to lightly dust your pet. And this would then, I would assume, would be okay with the ground with food grade diatomaceous earth once a week. It's made from fossilized marine algae and can be crushed and powderized. And what this will do is deter them, or if they kind of get this on their paws.
Dehydrates them. It's not a pretty picture. Yeah. I don't know much about the construction of a flea.
Not a paw. Mm-hmm. I'm sure it's not a paw. Okay. Next up is Debbie in Cleveland. Hi, Debbie. Go right ahead.
Hi,
Debbie.
Thank you. Hi to you both. I have a question. First I just want to comment too, because, you know, the comment that you made about the dose makes the poison, you know, you wonder why for years and years you are healthy, and then you get to be like 70, 80 years old, and you come down with these god-awful diseases, and you've never smoked, you've never this. And I truly believe what you said about the small dosage. After so many years of exposure, we, you know, get sick. But so I wanted to say that I agree with you with that. But my question is, you know, when it comes to detoxing your system, a lot of people have gone online and things of that nature and got the doctor this and that for detoxing smoothies and you starve yourself and things of that nature. What types of organic foods can we use to make it like a lifestyle to continue the detoxification? You know, what is it that we can eat that, you know, will continue to get these? Because when you mentioned the last 50 years, I just turned 50. Yay. And I figure now that. Well, and I figure now that my whole life has been like, my whole life, the last 50 years has been nothing but just like poison because, you know, prior to my birth, we were doing things differently. And now in the last, you know, 50 years, we've got all this stuff. And it's amazing because, you know, my niece was just saying that she wants to start growing her own food. Well, if they're putting the same thing in the seed that they're putting on the plant, then, I mean, what do we have to live for? I'm, like, so frightened. I'm ready to just, be, like, go.
You're what you're saying,
you're
Debbie.
The perfect person. But I'm so glad you called.
It can be very defeating to even
think about this
kind of thing because, you know, where do you start? But this comes out of your own, you know, the detoxing thing comes out of your own life.
Speaking my language, you know, and I'm really not going to answer, directly to that question, but I have several things to say. And one is 50 is not too late. And that's ironic. I was 50 when this started to turn for me. I was 52 when I understood that what I eat matters. And the last thing I would have ever been able to do was run a 5K, you know? And so if it could happen, and that's late in life. So don't be discouraged about that. You're onto it and good for you. The second thing is that I would say is that it is not one size fits all when it comes to food. I think that's very freeing to know that what works for one may or may not work for you. And when it comes to detoxing the body, some of our bodies are more stubborn than others for genetic reasons and accumulation of who knows what. Who knows the chemistry of each individual body? God does, but we don't. So it's a little bit, what's the word I'm looking for? Anyway, I'm sure you know. Can we really know what you should eat this? I will say, I think we know the key was when you said organic. And I know that we don't like to spend the money on organic food, but the first thing I would choose if you decide to eat meat, is I would only eat pastured and grass-fed beef. What a good, and poultry and eggs and dairy, that's a whole nother subject, you know, to really, really check your sources. This is a source of major toxicity in our world is what we have done to our animals and farming and the confinement operations that we see where they're crowded in and we have to give them so many antibiotics. Whatever an animal is ingesting, you're going to be ingesting too. And do we want to, if we're trying to move to natural methods to heal our bodies and detox, I'm not sure we want to add any more chemicals. So, you know, when you said organic, that's key. 4% of our food in this country is organic. The best way we can bring the price down, and I learned this from the conference, is to increase our volume. If more people buy the organic, the price will come down eventually because they'll have our farmers and so forth will have incentive to provide this in the stores, I should say. It's business. But as far as what will suit you, you know, I do think a lot of the herbs and plants that we see, the alkaline kind of tendencies, you know, the balancing some of that fruits are not for everybody. Some bodies do better with more vegetables. The greens are very powerful. So, you know, there's an answer for you and you'll find it. I guess my role is to just affirm that you are on the right road and don't let the fact that it's so overwhelming there on the internet stop you from what your gut instinct is, which is, you know what? I want to take care of myself.
Debbie, I'll leave it right there and go to Kathy in Chicago because she has a corollary question. Hey, Kathy, go right ahead.
Hi. Actually, I have a couple that I didn't even mention. First of all, I'm suffering from GERD, reflux, had the upper GI and stuff, and I am just you know, and I'm in my 50s, and this was 2 years ago, and but then I get such mixed reviews. Obviously, I hear it, you know, with, you know, multimedia about organic versus regular, and then the second part of my question is taking vitamins to try to, you know, help me with some issues, you know, like even like vitamin D, or D3, B12, all that kind of stuff. So, yeah. so that's a two question thing about organic, especially when you are diagnosed with reflux, as well as the type of vitamins that, you know, you're like, I don't know, you know?
Yeah, oh, I totally agree. The good news is, I think, and I'm not saying no vitamins. Vitamins can be very good depending on your chemistry and where you're at, but we can get so much nutrition from food when it's good, clean food. Now, what would the argument be that organic wouldn't help? I've not heard that.
Let me hang on a minute.
Are we
Kathy.
At a break?
Yeah, we're at a break.
Oh.
We need to take a break.
Okay.
And we'll come back. And the other aspect of her question that she hasn't mentioned here is the diet affecting her mood and depression.
Do we have to go for a break?
Yes, we do.
Oh, okay.
And we'll talk. We can talk
You're
during
the
break.
Okay.
But, you know, we need to come back then. 877-548-3675. A Toxic Talk Tuesday here on Chris Fabry Live and Moody Radio. We're talking toxic on a Tuesday on Chris Fabry Live, October 7th. Great to have you with us. Thanks for being here. And my toxic life coach, Andrea Fabry, is joining us. And here's the number, 877-548-3675. A lot of emails. I want to get to some of those as well and Facebook responses. You'll find the picture of my toxic life
coach. Half the room is in the picture. Chris is
if
not
I'd
in
known,
it.
If I'd have known, I would have dressed up.
Yeah.
Okay. So, mood and food and all
well,
that Kathy is talking
to,
about.
Well, she was asking, you know, with acid reflux, is it better to not have organic food? And I asked her during the break, you know, what is the argument for that? Is that some of the contaminant, you know, E. coli and things can get on non-sprayed foods. So I get it now. I understand. This would be the argument for something I heard at the conference this past weekend, which is know your farmer, know your food. And I'm not, we buy organic produce at the store. Sometimes you have to. This is not, we live in the real world, but understand that it is every Saturday morning, my devoted husband now drives 20 minutes to stock us up with organic produce. Why? Because we know our farmer, Jeff.
I was thinking about that too. We've never been to his farm. We do not know.
I did ask him, you know, what do you use for insects? Marigolds. What do you use to fight the pest? Marigolds. I asked him questions. I felt very confident as you can be.
Yes.
So the absolute ideal is to grow your own food. But as Kathy said, you know, we don't even, these seeds, help me. I'm so overwhelmed. So I'm validating being overwhelmed, but I'm also validating asking questions. You know, it's like, well, which of those is right then? The thing about understanding about acid reflux, as we age, our stomach acid actually goes up and we want a good, strong stomach acid. The problem is when it's reflux, it hurts. It shouldn't come back up. But there's a lot of reasons why that happens. That's disrupted. But, you know, and as a solution, we tend to have alkaline, like baking soda, to help with the pain and so forth. But that's not helping us increase our stomach acid. Look at the vulture who, you know, their stomach acid is a one. It's the lowest stomach acid in, you know, for animals.
This has been studied.
I did study this whole stomach acid thing, but so, you know, and I'm not here to answer, oh, here's what you should do. It's just, all I'm saying is learn about how the digestive system is made and designed. And you see that the stomach acid performs a very valuable function. And when things get disrupted and it's refluxed, it hurts. So I understand the short-term solution. The question is, what's the long-term solution, which Kathy is asking. So I can't really say Well, I'm a big advocate for organic food. I am, and I understand some of the risks when you're buying it when you don't grow it.
And the cost as well. So are you suggesting we all become vultures?
That's an interesting extraction of what I said. I'd go for the one if possible.
Okay, food and mood, though.
This gut-brain access thing that we're now learning. See, this is what makes the 21st century so exciting. We have learned so much since we left 1999 behind and turned the calendar. It's a new day, truly, because of this understanding of the gut-brain connection. And we just thought of it all as, and counseling is huge. You see what prayer does for the brain and mood. It's multifaceted, but we have missed the fact, the reality that 95% of the serotonin, which is our feel-good hormone, is made in the gut. So a healthy gut means a healthier mind. And what makes an unhealthy gut? Well, what are we eating? And drinking? What's in our water? You know, a water filter is such a good investment. It's either the water filter filtering it or your body filtering it. So the more you can do ahead of time, which is why, you know, do you want your body to have to filter through all of the sprays and chemicals, or do you want to buy the food as whole as possible? Some of the questions to ask.
All right. We'll leave it right there. And again, let me put the disclaimer in here. Our program is not meant to be medically decisive.
Well, and I hope that didn't come across that way, because I hope I didn't say
I just want to make sure that people know.
I agree.
Don't take this program as medical advice or say, I heard on the radio that if I just do this, then that's not what this is for. This is, you're asking questions, you're making statements here about what's happened to your family, your body as a mama bear. So take that as a
yes.
Now here's Fred in Allentown, Pennsylvania.
Fred.
Hey, Fred, how are you?
Oh, I'm pretty good, thank you. And thank you for having me on. And God bless you for having such a wonderful program and giving out such great information. I'm a deacon at a local church, and I've been trying to write an essay for the children there to kind of give them a little heads up that not to eat anything just because it has beautiful coloring on the package the word grape on it or something, but there may not be one molecule of a real grape in that substance. And so it's not been an easy task because I didn't want to upset a lot of people or, you know, their habits at home and all the other things. So I'm treading very carefully with that. But I've run across a lot of health issues being a deacon at the church with some of the children there getting head tumors and all kinds of illnesses and autoimmune diseases going on. And I think a lot of it has to do with just toxic things that are in the environment. Mm-hmm. And I was just wondering if you had any further comment on that and if you have any other resources for that kind of information.
Well, thank you for your question, Fred. And I so admire tackling this, you know, and so sensitively, because the last thing a kid needs is to feel really bad, you know. So, but at the same time, I've seen this. My children were 7 and up when we made a very radical change. And when it was explained, you know, I was so careful to explain to them that there's a reason for this. They take it in. And so I feel like kids are more open than we would ever imagine to making change. And they want to learn. And the idea is to make it as interesting and non-attacking as possible. Or, again, it's to say kids are like us as adults. Just don't tell me what I have to do or put this guilt trip on me or shame me that I'm bad, because this is how they've grown up. They don't know any different. And you're right. Who knows if they'll get support at home? So I've spoken to groups at school and I'm like, well, you know, I don't know what support you'll get at home for this, because it's just such a radical way to think that actually your food matters. And your environment, like you said. And I can't say enough about drinking water, how much that matters.
Let me jump in and just ask the question, though, about some of the things, the maladies that kids go through. And the obesity is a really big topic these days.
Obesogens is a new term. And I don't know if anyone... Did I interrupt you? Ryan, where's the bell?
You did.
Sorry.
But if I could just finish here.
Please finish. Sorry.
The thing that I have heard from you time and time again that has been very reassuring to kids is your body, you, because you crave this. We talked about this with the video games and that kind of thing, that you really get addicted to these games. There's nothing wrong with you. There's nothing wrong with you that you want soda and that you want candy and these other types of things, and your body is responding
yes,
to it.
Yes, it's actually a sign of health, if you can believe that, that you get cravings. Like that's your body functioning as it's designed. Sugar taps into a part of the brain that wants more. And same with the video game, the dopamine and so forth. It's actually tapping into something that's just there. It's not your fault. And so, but somehow when we learn and understand it and we take away this, it's all me. What's wrong with me? What's wrong with me? It's like, well, nothing's wrong with me. It's just that my brain wants more. Helps. It doesn't solve it. And as far as resources out there, I know they're out there, Fred. I can't, I really like Moms Aware, of course, as a resource, but there are so many out there that probably are really targeted to kids. What's on my food comes to mind. This is what I loved about being at a conference like this. I went from feeling like, is anybody thinking about this, to the whole world must
Everybody.
Be thinking
yeah,
about this.
Yeah.
You know, and even when we were there for lunch, a truck pulled up green, painted green, and it's all local, organic, grass-fed food.
Every as far bit of as that you know, truck. Again, as far as you know.
But, you know, this is their mission. So if somebody has a mission, you know, yes, it's always a risk if you're not buying and making your own food.
Know your,
yes. know your farmer, know your food.
Right, Fred, we'll give you, actually, Lori, get Fred's information, get his email address or something, because I know this lady.
I'll think of it later.
10 minutes after we end the program. I wish I'd have said. And so she can send you more information. We'll take our final break and come back with some more of your calls here on Chris Fabry Live.
Call 877-LIVE-675 to reach Chris Fabry Live. That's 877-LIVE-675.
Our remaining moments with my toxic life coach, Andrea Fabry, here on Chris Fabry Live. A bunch of phone calls here. A lot of emails, too. Let me just throw some things at you real quickly. Lori says, what do you recommend to wean myself off of sugar?
And I only have a minute here?
Yes, 1 minute.
Great question. You know, the big thing is to, I wouldn't substitute for artificial sweeteners is one. And I'm quite sure she knows that because she's asking. Those can be more toxic than sugar. And the natural sugars, I understand, but sugar is sugar, and what it can do is just want more. So, but weaning is, I wouldn't, cold turkey is very, very tough. So if you can find a natural sugar, say like raw honey or something, but knowing the whole time that my goal is not to need sugar to get through the day. That's my goal. And less is more. Because sugar, raw honey is very hard to find in nature, right? It's very hard. That's kind of how it should be in our diet. And it's the opposite in our processed food system. And we are so used to having it in every ketchup, a condiment, you know what? So fermented foods, that brings me to the way ketchup originally was made, is a fermented food. Fermented foods do help with sugar cravings. I can say that. And as you change, you will notice, and the studies have been done on this, kids raised on less sugar, they need less. If they're asked to sweeten their tea, they use far less than sugar. Kids raised on sugar.
Okay, your time's up.
Okay.
I use glyphosate to edge around the trees and structures. I got in trouble with my wife because I got some on her flowers and they died.
Mm-hmm.
It's so very effective. And, you know, he's so.
Yes. Mm-hmm. What do I do? I don't have the answer on, you know, I haven't worked with natural weed killers like white vinegar and Castile soap. So, but we have that on Mom's Aware as an option. We didn't have any grass for me to practice on. We have a little grass, so I may be practicing, but I would stay strong on there has to be something better. Glyphosate is the Roundup. That we know in the stores. It's our leading herbicide used by so many. And this is one of those categories of chemicals that's in the endocrine disrupting category. So kids, you know, if you have kids and you spray your lawn for weeds and they bring it in on their shoes and then the toddler crawls around, puts their hand in their mouth, you know, small doses matter. I know it's hard, though. I understand that it's hard. Natural type of landscaping, maybe where I don't need the grass. Maybe there are other, maybe turn it into a vegetable garden. There are people all over the country doing amazing things with their landscaping.
Chad in Ohio, in New Philadelphia. Hey, Chad, go right ahead.
Hey, Chris. Hey, Adrian.
Hi, Chad.
Growing up, if you asked my parents what was good for plants and stuff, marigolds were the thing. We had them everywhere. But anyway, my question is, I'm a deer hunter, and I'm not the big trophy hunter, but I hunt for table fare. And I was wondering if that's a good substitute for red meat other than beef.
Well, what do you think? What's your gut on that?
Well, I noticed that they put a lot of pesticides on corn and soybean fields, and I realized they would end up in that as well, other than just being in a field that would be fenced in for a cow. You know what I mean? That was my question on that.
Well, that's a great question. So I guess a lot of it depends on the deer's diet, because generally speaking, wild game is very nutritious. Now, I'm not speaking to people who are vegans who would, have a hard time with this conversation. I completely understand. And it all depends on where you're coming from. So, but you're a hunter and you eat meat. So I'm addressing you, really. And I can assure you that wild game is highly nutritious, especially when you're getting some of the, the runoff isn't the word, thinking pesticides and water, from the bones. It's just nutrient dense, and some of those organs and so forth. Being concerned about what they're eating, I understand. I guess it depends on where you're hunting and how much of their diet you think is made up of that. Do you feel
go
like...
back to being a vulture, you can just watch them and you can watch them other than putting a tag on their ear and seeing.
Yeah. But if your gut feeling is, I don't think they're getting a lot of this. My gut feeling on that is I probably would lean in favor. I mean, it sounds like a very healthy option as opposed to some of the animals raised in these confinement operations.
Chad, thanks for your call. So we got an email from a mom who is the daughter of a farmer who's a confinement. They raise hogs and others, and say, there's another side to this. My dad is not a bad. And you're not saying that farmers are bad, are you?
I understand. Not at all. Not at all. And you need to earn a living, and this is the way it's been done. And I honor that. My suggestion, though, for a farmer who's been raising animals this way is to look into how to maybe make it greener, make it safer, work with what you have and just consider options to kind of adjust to some of the new information we have. And I imagine there are many ways to do that.
Dawn is in Springdale, Washington. Hi, Dawn. Go right ahead.
Hi there. Okay, my question is, I love what you're saying, but how do you not let the detoxing become obsessive, or nutrition become an idol in your life? Because you can kind of, how do you keep that in balance?
What an easy question. I have never made that. I have never been out of balance, have I?
No comment.
that's a question near and dear to my heart, because you know what? That was proving to be a deterrent for me to, I kind of want to cry on this, to stay focused on this matters. Do you know? That question is for everybody. Whatever it is you do, how do you not have it become an idol? You're raising children. How do those kids not become your idol, where that's all you think about? I've been there, and my kids are older.
My question is, how do you not make your husband be your...
That's a common struggle for all wives. How do you, keeping our lives in balance is the question of the day. And I have found for me, I'm finding things that get my brain on something else. Because when we were highly detoxing, and I mean, it took a lot. Our bodies were very stubborn on this. We had a high exposure. I took Sundays. I didn't think about it. I just did not think about it. This was for me. At the time, we were taking a lot of supplements and things that I think were helping, but I didn't even get them out. I'm not recommending. This is not medical advice. I'm telling you what I did to try and keep some balance, because that was my life for at least 4 years, is this health crisis. Now that we're beyond that, I still am so fascinated, and I just love this topic, and I love to learn about it. Well, is it an idol? Well, maybe some days. Overall, I know what I know, that in the span of things, this is bigger than me. It's bigger than health. It's bigger than glyphosates. There's okay. A bigger story.
Let me jump in here, Dawn. Thank you. Because this goes back to the school board. When you went to the school board and the way that you, and by the way, I took the video of this, if you want to go and see
that.
When you spoke to them, it was, you people are so bad for doing this because do you know what it does to the kids? And I've got the response here, and here's a picture that they drew in the valley and a picture over here, and these kids were exposed and these weren't. And you could do it in a very shaming way. But the way that you presented this was simply, here's what I've learned because we went through a really bad time. And I think it can not only be beneficial to my kids, but also to all of the kids who go to this school. And here's the information.
Yeah. And, you know, I guess I just assume the best. Why are they serving on the school board except that they care about kids? So why would I shame them for that? We don't have this information. This is just a matter of giving information. It's fine. Whatever you want to do with it, I'll protect my kids. However, I need to protect my kids in whatever choice we make for schooling. But they care. And I think people really do want to know.
And for those who are eating Cheetos and Pop-Tarts and breakfast pastries and potato chips and soda and all that, you're not here to shame them and to make them feel bad about their life.
Well, I could have felt really bad. We were quite the fast food family, and I just was doing what I knew. I just didn't have any other information. So I was doing the best I can. I don't know anyone here who's not trying.
And this is the thing. When you hit a crisis then in your life, as a mom, it forces you to ask some of these really hard questions and say, is there a different way here?
Right.
And so you're just trying to help people.
Whoever would want to, I just want to come alongside someone who may be in a similar position. So
right, if you want to see the video, it is. It's over. You want to do it?
Okay.
Want to do another hour? you come back next time. It'd be November.
Oh, that's
Can
hard
you believe
to believe.
That?
No, I can't believe that. Okay, well.
And you really did a 5K run at your age.
I did, and I wore Earth Runners, which are, that's a whole other story. I was the only one in Earth Runners.
That's the other program. Oldest. You should do your Earth Runners. All right, Andrea, well, thank you for being here. And we've had a couple of people saying, I just love the energy that you bring to the program. Why can't you do this show every day?
Well, I'm downstairs cooking.
Oh, we could do a whole program on that, too. Okay, thank you for being here.
Thanks for having me.
And if you want to find out more, go to chrisfavorylive.org. Our program is a production of Moody Radio in Chicago. Thanks for listening.